powerful is the Cox Network. So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Does an orthopedic condition or sports injury have you sidelined? Make your comeback with GW Hospital Sports Medicine. We offer services from neck to toe, including care for shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, and hands. Plus, we're the official healthcare partner of GW Athletics, the DC Furies, and the DC Revolution. Get back to doing the things you love. Learn more at gwhospital.com/sportsmed or call 888-4-GW-DOCS. Physicians are not employees or agents of this hospital.
Hey, hey. Really the only thing that gon' be normal is distribution. Normal folks gon' infuse some. Optimize your lineups and you feed the rest, you mute them. Turning it up, these numbers are loud. Peeping this game from a nimbus is wild. Making it rain while I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bell, I'm the best, best, best tell. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Best bell, I'm the best, best, best chill. Into the next world, guess I got next still.
And welcome to the Best Bell Fantasy Football Podcast and live stream presented by Player Profiler on the Roto Underworld Network. I'm Bradley Stalder, and for the pilot episode of the Best Bell Fantasy Football Podcast and live stream, as a partner here for Player Profiler, I'm honored to be able to share with you some best ball tips, tricks, strategies, trends, and other very important things that you need to keep in mind as you are preparing for hot best ball summer. As many of best ball tournaments have been dropping on Underdog, on FFPC, on the FFWC, and many other sites, tonight I'm going to go through some ADP changes since January, and then frame those changes from how some lessons we can take away from these changes, and also how we can strategize from these trends and what we can learn moving forward. Those are the first two parts of tonight. And then the final part, as many of you saw, I've been asking for submissions of best ball teams. So if you want your best ball team analyzed on this podcast every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m., hit me up in the DMs, tag me. You can find me at FF Stalder on Twitter. I'm looking forward to sharing some knowledge, entering into discussion with y'all, and then, of course, building us up as better best ball players given the different tournaments, and maybe later on this year, we'll be able to do some live drafts with a few other Player Profiler members. Also, there's some great things in store. I'm going to bring in some big-time winners to be interviewed and talk about how they won, their strategies, and maybe their changed perspectives moving forward. So hopefully this is both an informational podcast and live stream for you, and also, you know, something that you can come back to and evergreen and keep in mind as you yourself are doing your drafts. Awesome. So the first thing on the agenda tonight is to talk about some of the biggest risers and fallers, not in the last week, but since January, because this is about the amount of time that it's going to be from January till now, until now and the start of the season. We've got the schedule, we've got training camps, we've got 53-man roster cuts, we've got so much in the offseason that is still to come. There's a lot of green grass. So I want to illustrate to you a very important point as we are moving forward. So the first thing that I want to do here is set it up so that you can see that the top riser since January 2023 is Garrett Wilson. And that is no surprise. Garrett Wilson is expected to be the number one wide receiver for the New York Jets. We have clarity about Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback. There's not strong competition for the alpha role aside from Garrett Wilson. I mean, there's Corey Davis, there's Mecole Hardman, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Tyler Conklin, but none of those wide receivers are going to get the workload and the target share that Garrett Wilson is going to get. So now that we have a bona fide alpha tied to an Aaron Rodgers quarterback who likes to hyper target his number one receiver, and we've seen that with Davante Adams, it's no surprise that Garrett Wilson has jumped from the back end of the second round till to the top of the second round. And I've even seen him go at the 1-2 turn at the 11 spot. Like, it is very possible that Garrett Wilson becomes a back end first round pick by the time we get to July. And that may not be crazy. So that trend is very much happening. And if there's any issues with some of the running backs at that 1-2 turn, we could see Garrett Wilson get into that first round. Second is Chris Olave. Chris Olave jumps from the back end of the third round to a mid second round pick since January. Again, for a couple reasons. One is clarity of quarterback. Two, there's not very strong competition between Chris Olave and any of the other receivers. Now, maybe you argue Michael Thomas might be there, but Michael Thomas has concerns. We are worried about his injury history. Ankles tend to recur in their injury types. And then who else is it going to be? Like, it's not going to be A.T. Perry, right, in the sixth round. Maybe Juwan Johnson takes another step forward. That would be nice. But with Derek Carr, we saw last year, Derek Carr hyper-target Davante Adams. And Chris Olave had some of the most unrealized air yards among all wide receivers. Wheels are up for these two former Buckeyes as the top two risers since January of 2023. They have both quarterback clarity, and they are clearly the number one option, obviously ascending from their rookie year. We've seen rookies ascend from their rookie year to sophomore year pretty significantly, and both players are excellent route runners. They command target shares. This is a beautiful thing. Third is DJ Moore. And Maddie jumps in the chat and says, DJ Moore with love. Absolutely, DJ Moore. There is a lot of public love for DJ Moore. Also, same vein with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. DJ Moore has quarterback clarity. It's going to be Justin Fields throwing to DJ Moore. And there's not strong competition, once again, for that number one role. It was Darnell Mooney for a while, but we know Mooney plays better as a number two or number three wide receiver in this Bears offense. And DJ Moore historically commands 28%+ target shares. My concern with DJ Moore, of these three, I think the concerns I have with DJ Moore are the highest because of the pass volume. We only saw Justin Fields attempt 30 or more passes in a handful of games. We even saw at the beginning of last year where he threw 20 or more passes a handful of times. So there is passing concerns for this particular wide receiver core in Chicago. However, he still should be the alpha. DJ Moore's ADP right now is wide receiver 19 on Underdog, and I value him more as wide receiver 24, 25. Even there, I think it's going to be tough for him to get the volume that you want. It's not to take away from his talent. I think DJ Moore is extremely talented, but those are my concerns about DJ Moore. I think he's the one that sticks out of these three that I think the market is a little high on. We've talked enough about the risers. Let's talk about fallers. The furthest faller since January of 2023. Again, no surprises here. If you've been in the best ball streets, it's Kenneth Walker, number one. He fell from a mid-second round pick to now back end of the fourth round. And as we'll see later on in tonight's live stream and podcast, you'll be able to see how late he's even falling, and even further than the back end of the fourth round. Kenneth Walker was absolutely decimated by the Zach Charbonnet drafting in the second round. That draft capital is about the same as Kenneth Walker himself. Now, the drafting of Zach Charbonnet makes sense from a team structure perspective. The Seahawks were left with DJ Dallas as the running back too? Yes, Zach Charbonnet went a little early and he landed on the wrong spot for fantasy. But for the real NFL, like, Pete Carroll and the rest of the Seahawks have to be happy with having a not just a change of pace back, but a very competent number two who can also catch passes. And that's one of the things that Kenneth Walker did not do at Michigan State. And he really didn't do much of his rookie year. So this precipitous fall, I think, makes Kenneth Walker a nice little value once he gets into the fifth round. I assume that he's still going to get 17 to 20 touches during the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. We saw Rashad Penny get a lot of value there. So I think Kenneth Walker is going to be a nice value in round five. We'll move to Joe Mixon now. Joe Mixon has dropped from a third round pick to, we're talking, sixth round. But over the last couple weeks since the NFL draft, Joe Mixon has jumped up, actually. So he's not fallen as much as this indicates. And if we get clarity on charges being dropped around the Joe Mixon situation, this could be extremely valuable. So Joe Mixon, as a faller since January, I think is on the rebound. Now that the Cincinnati Bengals only drafted Chase Brown in the fifth or sixth round. So Joe Mixon is on the rebound. The final for this faller since January of 2023 is Javonte Williams. And this is compounded by a few things. One is lack of clarity surrounding Javonte Williams' knee. There have been mixed reports about how he has been progressing, and the Denver Broncos have not come out and said that they're confident about his recovery and being ready for week one. So Javonte Williams being this big faller, this could turn into or morph into a J.K. Dobbins scenario, given that Javonte had a similar injury and similar complications to J.K. Dobbins, but also that maybe he comes on really at the end of the season and might become a playoff value if you end up going like zero RB or anchor RB in your builds. Javonte Williams might be a playoff option if your team can get to the playoffs. But the problem is your team going to be good enough without Javonte Williams for the first 6 or 8 weeks? That's going to be a major question. If you are a drafter of Javonte Williams, you need to have a plan for what happens if. And the other thing to keep in mind for Javonte Williams is there's been a lot of positive buzz out of Denver regarding Samaje Perine. And Perine came on really strong last year as the number two back for Cincinnati. And in fact, he was getting rotated in with one of the furthest fallers here on the slide, Joe Mixon, not only because Samaje Perine was a decent enough player, but also because he was one of the best pass blockers. That was the reason I was out on Samaje Perine going into 2022, was because he really struggled on third downs pass blocking. But credit where credit's due, Samaje Perine improved to be one of the better pass blockers in the NFL for the running back position. So he earned his way back over Chris Evans and Travion Williams. So Samaje Perine, lots of positive buzz for him. And the ambiguity about the injury for Javonte Williams has led to this precipitous fall. Okay, so those are some of the biggest risers, some of the biggest fallers. My plan for each week is to talk about the biggest risers and fallers week to week. So this is what we're starting with January to now. And then we're going to, because this is going to be a weekly podcast, I will be talking about each player, the top three risers, top three fallers week to week, and what this means, and give some analysis. All right, great. Let's keep it moving. I'm planning to do three things with tonight's podcast. The first was to talk about biggest risers, biggest fallers. The second is to offer a singular lesson that is data supported that will help make you a better best ball player. So the first lesson of tonight's podcast and this podcast stream for Player Profiler is that something that we know intuitively, but is supported by data, and that running backs are riskier the further we are from September. We are here, May 9th, drafting best ball teams, there is an immense amount of green grass between May and September. We're just going to get the schedule here on Thursday. So there is a tremendous amount of risk. I'm going to illustrate that to you, showing what has happened positionally from January until now.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network, with gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Per position. So I want you to notice this data along with me. What you'll notice, running backs tend to lose more value for a variety of reasons compared to the other positions. Number one, because of free agency. We've seen free agents move around. We've seen David Montgomery sign with the Detroit Lions. That very much hurt DeAndre Swift and his prospects of being a bell cow back. Number two is Miles Sanders. There goes a lot of Chuba Hubbard offseason love. Free agency can also impact post NFL draft. We don't have Leonard Fournette or Ezekiel Elliott signed with anyone as of today. If Ezekiel Elliott signs, for instance, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that would significantly impact Rashad White and Rashad White's upside in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. So free agency can really implode these running backs immediately. The second way they're risky is the rookie draft. Now, we're not going to have another rookie draft between now and the beginning of the season, but we saw this happen with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. We've also seen this happen with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. The rookie draft can implode some running back values, especially if these running backs get early draft capital. The third is injuries during the offseason. Now, this tends to happen during training camps, like hamstring strains, ACL tears, things like that. Injuries during the offseason can certainly impact how things are trending. Okay, so injuries during the offseason can significantly impact from now until September. But also clarity on injuries of pre-existing injuries. So a case that comes to mind is Breece Hall. If we find out that Breece Hall is going to miss closer to 6 weeks than 0 weeks, that's a needle mover for many of you who are playing season long best ball. It may not impact as much those who are attempting to do tournament styles where you need to have these players near the end of the season. And your assumption is that Breece Hall will be a better play in the best ball set in the tournament settings. But for season long, this could significantly impact how you view a Breece Hall. If you're going to go forward with a Breece Hall type of running back where there's ambiguity about his timeline of recovery, you could be out six of your 16, 17 weeks, a third of your season. You're without a player you drafted with significant draft capital. Another player we talked about him before is Javonte Williams. Once we get clarity on Javonte Williams, that could implode his ADP even more. So these running backs tend to lose more value for a variety of reasons. And the last reason is trades. This can be clearly stated through the Kenneth Gain corollary, right? DeAndre Swift gets traded. Swift has the pass catching profile. So does Kenneth Gainwell. But we think that DeAndre Swift is a significantly better player than Kenneth Gain. So Kenneth Gainwell's market is tanked now because of this trade. And there may be more running back trades in the offseason. Who knows? We'll see. But the lesson here is running backs are riskier the further we are from September. So Jose is jumping in the comments and he asks, based on this lesson, is zero running back viable now? And I would say that the more running backs you draft with earlier draft capital, the more risk you are taking on to be a contender. So if you want to live risky, so be it. But I still think that the takeaway is that you want to reduce the amount of risk and go for the players that you know, like we have information on. Teams that draft later tend to do better. You'll see why here in a second. I want to show you this graph. And this graph is of veteran players, not rookies, veteran players, and their percent ADP change from January of 2023 until May. So from January until now, we've gone for 4 months and then a couple days. As you can tell, there are some players who just fell off the cliff, right? This 0% right here means that if there is no change, that's going to be right here. All right. A player has not increased or decreased their value. If it is above the 0%, that means they've improved their ADP. And if they are below, it is significantly different. So what I want you to see is that it's clear more players tend to lose value who are veterans, right? So if we're drafting veterans over the course of January to May, we can see this negative impact. The first takeaway is that 7 of the top 10 risers, so the players who are over here, were wide receivers. And this was illustrated by what I said at the beginning of the podcast. We have Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and DJ Moore being the top three. But then the other wide receivers in the top 10 are Odell Beckham, Jerry Jeudy, Devonta Smith, and Ja'Marr Chase. Those players all increased their ADP from January. Now, there's also a couple other players as well who are non-wide receivers. So running back Tony Pollard, Rashad Penny, Samaje Perine were the other three. And Samaje Perine makes sense. He gets a good landing spot. And Javonte Williams goes down. What goes up must come down. Rashad Penny had a nice landing spot, although his ADP has dropped a little bit. And Tony Pollard survived the draft. So that worked out pretty well. But 7 of the top 10 fallers were running backs. And that's this side of the graph right here. 7 of the 10 players who lost the most value relative to their ADP were running backs. So that's Kenneth Walker, Joe Mixon, Javonte Williams were the top three. You should have noticed that trend when I talked about those biggest fallers. Then Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, Tyler Algier, Leonard Fournette. Only one wide receiver lost value in the bottom 10, and that was Josh Palmer. It makes sense. We get Quentin Johnston. Okay. The other two players who lost the most in the bottom 10 were Tom Brady. Makes sense. And Brock Purdy, now that we got some clarity about his elbow. So there we go. The average player, so if you're looking at veterans over the course of change from January to May, the average veteran player lost 10% of their ADP value. And that may be from replacement, and maybe someone was traded or drafted or whatever. But on average, these veterans tend to lose value, or we're talking almost 60, 70% of these veterans are going to lose value. Less than 31% of veterans improved their ADP, and about 2 of 3 veterans fell in ADP from January to May. So there is a lot of risk in investing in especially veteran running backs January to May. But also this kind of makes sense as we go through the offseason as well. We'll continue to get more information, more clarity, and teams will want to give the rookie some more reps. there will be obviously the positive spins coming out of camp, the coach speak, all of that is going to influence the ADPs, but veterans are in hot water as we are, like how this has trended over the past few months. Now I want you, remember lesson one, I said running backs are the riskiest. So I want to compare these to the other positions. So first we're going to look at quarterbacks. As you can tell, not very good for the quarterback position. But the average quarterback lost 14% of their relative ADP value. There are a few reasons for that. I'll get to that later. But the average quarterback was not a good investment over the course of January to May. Makes sense that Jordan Love was the biggest riser because of Aaron Rodgers. Finally, we get clarity on that situation, him moving to the New York Jets. Tom Brady and Brock Purdy, I mentioned earlier, were the biggest fallers. There was still some chatter about Tom Brady possibly coming back to the Bucs or maybe going to San Francisco or somewhere. But I think it's pretty safe to say Tom Brady is not, I'm waiting for the notification on my phone for Tom Brady to unretire yet again. But I think it's pretty safe to say Tom Brady is not coming back. And then Brock Purdy also dealing with the elbow injury. We saw him precipitously fall. The last part is that only 24% of quarterbacks gained ADP. Because how does a quarterback gain ADP? Typically, there are weapons improved. Because we know that quarterbacks are the most consistent plays year to year. Like a quarterback is going to be pretty accurate. A quarterback can throw pretty hard. A quarterback can make reads. A quarterback can get the ball to his guys. But if he has better route runners, if he has players who can get open, all of that can play a part in moving his stock. But in the Jordan Love case, it was about Jordan Love is going to get an opportunity to start here. Okay. So notice that it was the quarterbacks lost 14% of their value. This is now running backs. Running backs on average lost 17% of their ADP value. Tony Pollard was the biggest riser. As I mentioned before, he survived the draft. There was only Deuce Vaughn drafted in the fifth or sixth round, right? An undersized running back. It's going to be Malik Davis, but maybe the Cowboys bring on another running back. Maybe it's Leonard Fournette. Maybe it's someone else. But Tony Pollard survived. And I talked about this a couple months ago on my YouTube channel, bestbellfantasy.com, bestbellfantasy. I talked about how Tony Pollard should be considered in that tier too. He was a top 10 running back in terms of accessing top five upside. So when it came to hitting the nuts, like he still was a running back, the running back one overall in a week that Ezekiel Elliott had 15 touches, that Ezekiel Elliott was healthy. Tony Pollard can still access RB1 upside, even with another running back that exists in that Dallas offense. So Tony Pollard, biggest riser. I would been bullish on Pollard. He's jumped up from back end of round three to now he's a round two consideration. Kenneth Walker, as I mentioned before, was the biggest faller, negative 144% ADP change, and only 24% of running backs gained ADP value. This is, you saw before, from the quarterbacks, 24% quarterbacks. So that seemed to be the same. It's just that when the running backs fell, they fell further than the quarterbacks. So quarterbacks fell 14%. Running backs fell 17%. Wide receivers only fell 3.6%. Wide receivers were usually pretty good about either retaining value or not moving very much. Okay, we do see almost 50% and maybe a little bit further fall for some of these wide receivers, but by and large, there was not a lot of shifting for wide receivers this offseason. Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, as I mentioned, were the biggest risers from January to May. Now, Josh Palmer and DPJ were the biggest fallers for two reasons. One is that Josh Palmer and DPJ are not good at football. PFF graded them as some of the worst wide receivers. in all of the NFL among wide receivers who had at least 80 targets. Like, they were bottom five, both of them. So they're not good, number one. And number two is their team drafted their replacement, or picked their replacement, or traded for their replacement. One could argue for DPJ, it's Cedric Tillman, or trading for Elijah Moore.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network, with gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
That's not a show of confidence for both DPJ and David Bell. Josh Palmer, on the other hand, is clear that the Chargers need to upgrade their wide receiver three position, with Big Mike Williams suffering injuries, Keenan Allen suffering injuries. So Josh Palmer need to be replaced. When he was garnering 10, 12 targets in the other big two's absences and not doing much with it, he was a big letdown. At least Quentin Johnston could give us some more of that upside and should be a significant improvement over Josh Palmer. Finally, 36% of wide receivers gained value relative to ADP. That's compared to only 24% for running backs, only 24% for quarterbacks. So wide receivers were more likely to gain value, and they lost less ADP value from January to May. Finally, the average tight end only lost 5.5% of their ADP value. We don't see a lot of shifts for tight ends either. So pretty much the safest is the wide receivers, and the riskiest are the running backs. TJ Hockenson and Darren Waller were the biggest risers, with Adam Thielen signing elsewhere and a rookie being the wide receiver too projected. Hockenson's probably going to gobble up a lot of targets. It also makes sense that Darren Waller is one of the biggest risers, because of the trade from the Vegas Raiders to the New York Giants, where it's possible that Darren Waller leads the Giants in targets. Then Zach Ertz, Travis Kelce, some of the biggest fallers. I think Ertz because of the ACL injury, and then Travis Kelce, there was just a lot of steam coming off of Kelce being the difference maker that he was last year for your best ball teams. You needed Mahomes and Kelce stacks in a lot of places if you wanted to compete in the playoffs. And the last part, 34% of tight ends gained ADP value. So pretty much the same as your wide receivers. Whew, cool. Recap. So just to recap this lesson, number one, running backs are the riskiest asset during the offseason. Draft them knowing that these are the riskiest assets. Number two, wide receivers are the safest, followed by tight ends. And it's a clear tier break between wide receivers, tight ends, and then quarterbacks. Quarterbacks who are bad tend to get replaced in the draft, and then they tumble, right? Their ADPs tumble. But even the best quarterbacks fall a little bit once there's clarity on other positions. This makes sense because we know that Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes are going to be good quarterbacks. Theo Greminger and I talked about this on a previous podcast where we said we could probably pick out the 10 or 12 best quarterbacks and get 10 out of 12 correct by the end of the season. We know who is a good quarterback from start of the offseason till the end of the offseason. It's difficult, however, to evaluate their receiving options or a team's offense or a change in offensive coordinator or coaching scheme. So once we get clarity on coaching, once we get clarity on personnel, then we get more information and those assets such as running backs and wide receivers become less risky. So that means we can take those higher upside spike week receiving options or running back options early in the drafts because they are fewer. You're still going to get Mahomes at the end of the second round, beginning of the third round, no matter where you're going to be drafting. But these good quarterbacks, elite options, are still going to see a little fall because other options get clarity. So just to recap, running backs are the riskiest, wide receivers are safest, bad quarterbacks tend to get replaced like that, but then good quarterbacks even feel a little bit of a fall, even if they get improved weapons. Okay. Whew. We've done two parts of today's live stream. The first part was to talk about biggest risers and fallers. The second part was to give you a best ball lesson or a way in which we can look at positional ADPs. And today we looked at identifying running backs as the riskiest assets during the offseason, wide receivers being the safest. And so this takeaway is that zero RB or hero RB become even better options when you are drafting. And it may be a little uncomfortable for some of you because you want to take the running backs right away, but it's May and we've got a lot of green grass between now and then. The running backs are more likely to have their value nuked between now and September than they are. If you want to go power running back in mid-July, so be it. End of June, so be it. But we're at May 9th, and the running backs, as we've seen, have been the riskiest picks. So consider zero RB or hero RB drafts as you're moving forward. Now, maybe you want to go bimodal. You saw that work with Pat Corain's team. But we also saw zero RB work for King Capital's team for underdog winning the regular season. He didn't draft a running back until, was it Kenneth Walker? Near the eighth round, ninth round. Like, there were some massive values at wide receiver that just kept his team afloat and then gave some upside as well. And then he really nailed the running backs later on. So hopefully I'll be able to get some interviews as well and pick the brains of some of the big winners over the course of this offseason so that we can see these takeaways, these lessons come to fruition. Okay. And these aren't just speculation, but backed by data. Cool. As I mentioned, there are three parts. The first part, we talk about risers and fallers. Second is a best ball lesson. And third is going to be analyzing best ball teams. I'm going to analyze four best ball teams tonight. If you want to have your best ball team analyzed, send me a DM on Twitter at FF Stalder. Reply on Twitter. Okay. You can reply to the tweet where all this is out. You tag me at Roto Underworld and you'll have a chance of getting your best ball team analyzed. Okay. So, part three is analyzing best ball teams. I'm going to analyze four of them tonight. And I grade on a rubric. And I may change this rubric as we go throughout the offseason, maybe weighting them a little bit more. But for right now, each of these four parts, and it's going to be five soon, but four parts of this rubric are going to influence this overall grade of the best ball team. These are the criteria. Player takes or upside. Did you take good players at the positions? Do these players have upside? Number one. Number two, stacking. Is stacking existent in your builds? Is it a weak stack? Is it a strong stack? Did you overstack? You'll get penalized if you take the quarterback and five receiving options because then you're limiting yourself. But stacking. C is team structure. Do you have the right balance of quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends? And this may vary based on the first part of player takes an upside. You'll see what I mean when we talk about these teams that are being analyzed. The fourth part is how did you draft versus ADP? In my rubric, you will be penalized for reaching, maybe a little less penalty if it's a stack, but you will be penalized for reaching. You will be given value if you let players come to you. And if you let players come to you who stack, that's like bonus points. Okay. So all of those things together, those four criteria, as of right now, are things to keep in mind. And then as we get week 17 correlation, like obviously that's going to be applicable, but for right now, we don't have a schedule. And for this exercise, I did not go through and say, you know what, I think this is going to be the week 17. I didn't do that. So these are the criteria for the rubric. And the number three thing, if I grade your best ball team, I'm going to be a tough grader. I'm going to point it out. I'm going to be a jerk. I'm going to give you your D's. I'm going to give you your C minuses. Like I'm not afraid to give those grades. I'm a teacher by trade. So I'm not afraid to fail you if you really did give me a trash team. Or at least I will try to look for grading on this rubric. How did you, maybe you did really well with taking good players, but your team structure was really off. You'll see how these play out over the next four teams. Well, let's get to it. The first team that we're going to take a look at is brought to you by an underdog spy 007. And you have quarterbacks Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, running backs Aaron Jones, James Conner, Antonio Gibson, Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette, Chuba Hubbard, Pierre Strong, and then at wide receiver, Hopkins, London, Brown, Bateman, Myers, Downs, Woods, Parker, Kelsey, Gesicki, Woods. Okay, so let's grade it. Player takes an upside. I gave this team a B. I like the Patrick Mahomes, Kelsey stack. That is an A type of stack. But it's an A-plus type of stack. But the problem with this team is that it's meh at running backs and wide receivers. There are serious questions about the upside that can be accessed by Drake London in the Atlanta Falcons and then doubling up on Marquise Brown on DeAndre Hopkins. That could hurt if the Arizona Cardinals are bad. And then you're banking on for the first 6 weeks, your team to be doing really well. So I think that is a struggle. Also, we don't know what's going on with Kareem Hunt. So there are problems with getting it to an A or even an A minus, but you can't go wrong with Mahomes, Kelsey, with player takes an upside. Stacking B plus. Mahomes, Kyler stack, boom. There wasn't anything really else aside from the Kelsey Mahomes stack. So there was no Kadarius Toney. There was no Rashee Rice. There was no any other Kansas City wide receivers. And then the Arizona Cardinals, the reason why I did not give an A for the stacking with Kyler Murray, Hopkins, and Brown is because we're probably going to be missing 4 to 6 games for Kyler. So that stack doesn't exist for the first 6 weeks or so is my problem. So it could have been an A, but that's the problem with the Kyler Murray, Hopkins, Brown stack is that you're going to be missing it for at least a third of the season. So it is penalized a little bit. Team structure, C minus. The quarterback and running back rooms are fine. Or the quarterback and tight ends rooms are fine. But it's the amount of running backs for this team. We have 7 running backs in a team that has Aaron Jones, James Conner on it. Okay, my team structure is problematic partly because I expected to get at least one more higher upside running back. And the wide receivers, I'm not sure are going to be good enough to be able to get us up to where we want to be for this team structure. So I don't see some swing for the fences later on. Like Josh Downs is a nice floor play. Jacoby Myers could be a nice floor play. Robert Woods could be nice floor plays, but team structure wise, you're probably going to not lean into Kyler Murray taking him that early if you're lacking sorely in some other upside swings. So consider in how the team structure is set that you also don't need that third tight end, in my opinion. Like you've got Travis Kelce and then maybe take another high upside swing on wide receiver. I think consolidation to more wide receivers and less running backs would be more beneficial for this team. Versus ADP, a B minus. Taking mostly around ADPs here is fine. Not a lot of values, though, as I'm looking through. Like, Josh Downs was definitely a reach, but sticking pretty close to ADPs will get you like a B, B minus. And so there were a couple reaches like Kyler Murray and Josh Downs, at least significantly. But something that Hayden Winks put out last year was that if you draft players, I think it's more than three players, 12 spots or more ahead of ADP, you are limiting your upside because it means you're reaching significantly. And this team, there are some reaches, but and there's not a ton of value, but drafting at ADP will keep you pretty close to a B. And the reaches that happened here were not super egregious. Downs was early and Myers was early, but all of the other ones were within plus or minus about eight spots, and that's fine. Okay, you just want to limit the amount of reaches you have in your drafts. So overall, I gave it a B minus. B player takes, B plus stacking, C minus structure versus ADP, a B minus. I gave it a B minus overall. Cool. That's the first team. So the first team was a B minus. Second team, Maddie. We get Maddie. I don't know if I'll be merciful or if I'll roast you, but here we go. Maddie had Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, Jordan Love as at quarterback. Bijan Robinson, Tony Pollard, Rashad White, Roschon Johnson, Deuce Vaughn, James Robinson at running back. So a 3-6-6-3 build. Metcalf, Moore, Pittman, Addison, Mims, and Reed at wide receiver. And then Chiga Conquo, Mike Gesicki, and Trey McBride. It seems like there are some Gesicki fans between these last two drafts. So we're going to grade it on the rubric. First is player takes an upside. I'll give a C. I think we're struggling with getting Daniel Jones to access the upside that you want. You're taking risks on Anthony Richardson, and I like Anthony Richardson as his upside, but there's a lot of downside too, and I don't know if Daniel Jones can access the upside if there's a problem there. So I do like that, but if I were redrafting, I would keep it at Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson, and I'll tell you why later. We have Fly Meatwad coming in saying, doing three quarterback builds, getting a Rich 2, hopefully not at quarterback 11, where he's currently going on underdog. 2 weeks ago, Anthony Richardson was going as quarterback 24. Now he's going as quarterback 11. So we've seen him jump up significantly. So player takes team structure. I like Bijan Robinson and I like Tony Pollard, but I'm not a fan of the Jordan Love, Rashad White picks. Just this is my player takes an upside. I think Rashad White is limited in his upside that he can access. You're arguing volume if you're a Rashad White believer, and that can go poof like that. So I'm concerned about the Rashad White upside there. And then your wide receiver one is DK Metcalf, which is fine, but DJ Moore at ADP was my concern. As your wide receiver two, DJ Moore couldn't access wide receiver two very often for best ball teams last year. And now he moves to a low pass volume offense in Chicago, or at least we anticipated. So even if he gets 30% of the targets, I'm concerned about what kind of volume he's going to offer you there. Michael Pittman as well. We wonder I do see the stack. We'll talk about the stacking here in a little bit. The stack with Anthony Richardson as your wide receiver three, I think is fine. Like it's fine. It's okay. Michael Pittman will get you some points. He'll be there probably 35, 40% of the time making your best ball lineup. That's fine. Jordan Addison. I like Jordan Addison, first round pick out of USC to Minnesota. I think that works really well. I like the second round pick draft capital for Mims and Reed as well. So I don't mind those, but then we get, I wonder if you have enough firepower, though, to be able to access like league winning weeks for the wide receivers. So I think there are some I don't think you took enough swings on the weak winning upside on a wide receiver here. I want to see a little bit more risk taking for swinging for the fences there. And then third is tight ends. You're taking shots here. I don't see stacking for the tight ends, and we'll talk about a few other things as well. But ultimately, I don't hate Chigakonkwo. I just think he's limited in that Tennessee offense to give you tight end 1 weeks, like weekly. Sickie is, he could be great or he could be terrible. I do like Gesicki in best ball formats much more than in redraft. And then finally, Trey McBride, I don't hate at ADP or around ADP where he's going. But I think it's average. It's C. It's the especially the wide receiver upside. I do the running backs though. Bijan and Pollard are your 1-2. Stacking C minus. I see the Anthony Richardson and Michael Pittman, but I don't see anything else is the issue here. Pittman's probably going to be the wide receiver 1, but I would have expected some late stacking with the Giants in this build, having more like late shots on Sterling Shepard, on Jamison Crowder, on Wandell Robinson. I'm just taking some very last round picks on some of the Giants, or even on, you know, I do see the Green Bay Packers there, Jaden Reed, but maybe stacking Love with someone else. Yeah, Maddie's asking, who are some prime swing for the fences kind of wide receivers? That gives some topics for the future for you to tune into. So make sure you're checking those out. I'll talk about upside wide receivers in future drafts, but stay tuned because these are some very important questions of what does it mean for a player to have upside? What kind of upside do rookie wide receivers offer? And are there any like dart throw type of wide receivers moving forward? So I think that the Jaden Reed is okay-ish. But I wanted to see if you're like an A level would be stacking Geno Smith, maybe Geno Smith instead of Daniel Jones, considering that like you drafting your quarterback 1 to be your quarterback 1. So if he's being your quarterback 1, he should correlate pretty well with your wide receiver 1, or at least take some shots on it. Because Daniel Jones, even though he'll be a top 12 quarterback, it's probably because of his rushing floor. And then it's not correlated to, I'm just not sure how the stacking is going to help. Okay. With this build. Okay. Team structure C minus as well. There's historical data to suggest that 3 quarterbacks and 3 tight ends is problematic moving forward. So consider picking 1 and sticking with it. I suggested getting rid of Jordan Love and then focusing maybe on 2 late round Giants wide receivers that could get you there, but also like, you only need Bijan Robinson and Tony Pollard to be your bimodal running backs. What are you believing is going to happen with Rashad White, that he'll be a bi-week fill-in? Maybe. But you're banking on Bijan Robinson being the answer in this build. You're banking on Tony Pollard being the answer in this build. You picked them a combined 10 spots ahead of ADP. So I think the team structure there is something to consider. Like, when are you going to draft this next running back? And hopefully the earlier parts of the podcast will give you insights into the risk of running backs. If something happens to Bijan, like, you might be safe, but then the teams that have 0 RB and Bijan Robinson out, like, that could, do you have enough wide receiver firepower to overcome like one mistake with the running back position? So consider that moving forward. And the other thing is versus ADP. There were a lot of reaches in here, Maddie. Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, Bijan, Jordan Love, Tony Pollard. Pretty much every pick was before ADP. Gesicki was 29 spots ahead. Chigakonkwo was 28 spots ahead. We're talking multi-rounds earlier. So I would say let the draft come to you more often with this type of build. Allow it to come to you. And Chig is going at 130. If you really like him, take him at 128, 127. Take him instead of Jordan Love there. Okay. So consider that the ADP. So overall C minus. Sorry, Maddie. I hope you don't roast me too, man. Take me to the DMs. All right. We're going to make these quick, these last 2. Todd from PA, appreciate you, friend of the podcast. Great guy. He's cranking out awesome content over at Sharp Football Analysis. So he submitted this build: Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Taylor, Walker, Warren, Bigsby, Strong, Diggs, Samuel, Cooper, Pittman, Zay Jones, Mingo, DPJ, Gallup, Davis, Waller, and Njoku. I gave this player takes an upside a B plus. I'm not a big fan of Jonathan Mingo, and I am concerned about Zay Jones in this. I also am not a fan of DPJ or Michael Gallup. I don't like those particular players. I think Gallup is prime for a bounce back, but that was until Brandon Cooks was there. Donovan Peoples-Jones that early, I still at pick 152. I'm not in on that. And this is just player takes an upside. So we'll talk about the other components here in a second. Stacking, B plus. It's clear that the Cleveland stack exists with Deshaun Watson, David Njoku, and Amari Cooper. That's pretty strong. And then the stack with Aaron Rodgers and Corey Davis exists. So that was like maybe someone a little bit earlier, possibly. Or if you're going to take Njoku and maybe Tyler Conklin, that's a possibility, but not too bad. Like, this is an appropriate amount of stacking. It's clear that Todd, he's a seasoned vet. He knows how to structure these teams. Team structure is A. He's got his two stud quarterbacks with some upside to be able to access. He's got his stud running back at Jonathan Taylor at pick 17, Kenneth Walker at pick 56. Okay. Jaylen Warren is nice. And then he just hammered wide receivers: Diggs, Debo, Cooper, Pittman. Like, Pittman is his wide receiver 4. In the previous build, Pittman was the wide receiver 3. And then Waller and Njoku. If you're going Waller, you just need Njoku. That's totally fine. And then ADP, A. If you look at almost all of these, they are either at ADP or significantly after. We're talking Jonathan Taylor, pick 17, Kenneth Walker, pick 56, Diggs at ADP, Pittman, 10 spots after ADP. Okay. Darren Waller, 14 spots after ADP. These are massive, massive values. So Todd crushed this, A-. Definitely a contender in how he set up his player takes, stacked, team structure. This is a textbook A-. Yeah, there's not a lot to nitpick about this team. All right. And the last one, flavorize this on Twitter or on Underdog: Justin Herbert naked. Okay. Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, Damian Harris, Diggs, Amon-Ra, Debo, DeAndre Hopkins, Sutton, Kittle. I thought that player takes was a B. My concern that wasn't an A was that the running back position was not very good. Stacking, it would have been an A, but Justin Herbert was naked. Team structure was a C+. 3 quarterbacks, 3 tight ends, suboptimal. We just need to learn our lessons here. If you want more about that, we can talk about that later. But team structure here, I'm also concerned about the amount of running back firepower that exists in this team. You need an injury to Bijan, or you need an injury to Derrick Henry for this team to fall to the right way. And I just don't know if that's going to be able to get you there. And then versus ADP, an absolute A. There are so many value picks in this draft for me to go through, but time is running thin. Overall, a B. Yeah, so there we go. I really appreciate all of you tuning in. This has been a lot of fun for me, going through, teaching you a lesson, going through some ADP changes, and then also analyzing best ball teams. If you like the content, found this helpful, make sure you subscribe to the Player Profiler YouTube channel. Make sure that you follow me on Twitter at FF Stalder. And if you want your best ball team analyzed, put it in the chat, DMs me, see me on Twitter. I really appreciate all of you tuning in to this first episode of Best Bell Fantasy on Player Profiler. Make sure to subscribe to the Player Profiler YouTube channel. Hit that comment. And I appreciate all of you. Until next time, everyone, good luck in the best ball streets.
powerful is the Cox Network. So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Welcome to Vast National Bank. How can I help you?
Hey, I'm here to talk to someone about a loan.
Oh, I'll grab you the L97B. We call it the just talking form.
What about actually applying for a loan?
Oh, my. Let me pop in a new toner cartridge. Hey, Bill, want to pass me the big stapler?
Yeah, I'm going to try a community bank.
Skip the mega bank. When you need a loan, find a community bank at banklocally.org.